with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. I'm Marnie Roper. Having a home and belonging to a community is an essential part of a satisfying life for most of us. But many people with intellectual disabilities find themselves isolated and not able to take part in normal activities and social interaction that would bring them pleasure. L'Arche is an organisation that seeks to overcome this by creating communities that give people with intellectual disabilities a valid place in our societies. L'Arche communities consist of a small number of households with 4 to 6 residents with and without intellectual disabilities, integrated into a local neighbourhood. We invited Krishni Nair, community leader of L'Arche in Sydney, into the studio to talk to us about the organisation and its achievements.
Hello, Krishni. Now, before we talk about L'Arche in Australia, I'd like to cover a brief history of L'Arche International and how the first L'Arche community came to be established. Would you like to give us a brief story about that?
Thanks, Barbara. Thanks for having L'Arche Sydney on board. Yes, definitely. The roots of L'Arche International lies in the first L'Arche community founded in 1964 in Trolley in France, a very small village north of Paris. There was Father Thomas Felipe, a Dominican priest, who became a spiritual mentor for Jean Vanier. Jean Vanier invited two people with intellectual disabilities, Philip and Raphael, to leave their institution and to come and share their life with him. And this was done in the spirit of the Gospels and the Beatitudes that Jesus preached. They lived together in a small house in Trolley, which he named L'Arche. This small community grew fast, soon welcoming new people with an intellectual disability and young people from around the world to share their lives. Unforeseen by Vanier, it did not take long for people to decide to create new L'Arche communities in their own countries. And so, 1969 saw the creation of the first home near Toronto, Canada, called Daybreak. In the 1970s, the vision of L'Arche also inspired people to found L'Arche in India, the Ivory Coast, and Honduras.
It's very scattered. So for the non-French speakers, can you tell me the meaning of L'Arche?
L'Arche, a French word for the word ark.
Uh-huh.
Jean Vanier got his inspiration from the ark, a biblical story of Noah and the flood. And the ark also symbolizes a place of refuge, but it's also a French word referring to the ark of a bridge, and thus implying a bridge role for the L'Arche to bring people together.
So tell me about the aims of L'Arche International.
The aim of L'Arche is to create communities which welcome people with an intellectual disability. By this means, L'Arche seeks to respond to the distress of those who are too often rejected and to give them a valid place in society.
Mm-hmm.
L'Arche seeks to reveal the particular gifts of people with an intellectual disability who belong at the very heart of their communities, who call others to share their life.
And L'Arche seeks to allow these people to control their lives.
That's right. It seeks to encourage and promote the person-centeredness to expose their gifts and talents.
It seems that L'Arche has established a certain terminology to describe people who are living in the homes and the carers. Could you just explain that quickly so that we understand the background?
L'Arche uses respectful terminology that shows respect and humility to people who are at the heart of L'Arche and for whom L'Arche was founded. Some examples of the terminologies and meanings are, we use the word core members.
And that's somebody who lives in the house.
That's mm-hmm. right. And this is so different from the outside world where people refer to core members as clients or service users or consumers. But in L'Arche, they are the core of our community and therefore right in the middle and in the center in which we all revolve around. Some other terminologies are assistants. Assistants in the outside world are regarded as support workers. But in L'Arche, they are people who either live in a household with core members, and they come into relationship with core members, and they create home, they share life together, and to offer personal emotional support in the rhythm of daily living. We also use the terminology of accompaniment. Accompaniment in the outside world is regarded as supervision. And in L'Arche, it is a practice in which people in the roles are supported by an appointed, experienced person to live out the identity and mission of L'Arche. It is an integral part of this process, is supporting the person to fulfill their role in community. Another terminology comes to mind is training. The outside world will call it training, and in L'Arche we call that formation. The word is used in L'Arche to encompass all forms of personal development, training, professional and skill development. It's designed to form people in understanding of L'Arche philosophy and practice, their personal and spiritual development. It also offers people access to skills and knowledge needed to perform their role in L'Arche.
Do the aims of L'Arche Australia differ in any way to the aims of L'Arche in other countries of the world?
No. The aims, identity and mission is founded in the international concept and it is spread throughout the world. And L'Arche Australia is part of that international federation of which we identify with. And therefore, there is a seamless movement of people within the international organization due to the aims, identity and the philosophy of L'Arche.
When did L'Arche come to Australia?
The first community in L'Arche was founded in 1978 in Bungendore near Canberra.
What about Sydney?
L'Arche Sydney began when a group of people decided to build friendships with a number of people with an intellectual disability and their families. And in January 1980, the group began meeting together for regular picnic outings. So a number of people in the first picnic group were people with an intellectual disability who were living in the Gladesville area, a large institution in Sydney. In 1983, and rightfully so, the group was offered the use of a L'Arche house in Burwood, a suburb about 20 minutes west of Sydney.
So that's effectively the start of it, when you moved into the house.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And thereafter, a second house was established in Merrylands, about 45 minutes away from the city in the western Sydney, and thereafter another house in Campsie.
Does L'Arche today in Australia have a presence in all the major cities?
Yes, we do. We have one in Hobart, one in Brisbane, one in Melbourne, and we have in Canberra as well. And we just got fedlings or seedlings that are starting off in the Hunter region, in Adelaide, in Perth.
Now, what about your role and how long have you been with L'Arche, Krishni?
I'm the community leader of L'Arche and I've been in my role for 20 months. But due to the philosophies, the identity that I so believe in, it feels like I've been in L'Arche all my life.
So you've talked about the three houses that you operate in Sydney. Tell us a little bit more about the houses. What we'd like to know also is how many applications you get from people to live in the houses from who subsequently become core members. Do you get a lot of applications?
Yes, we get lots of requests come to us on a weekly basis. And these requests that we get are either from families, friends, neighbours, and we do get government organizations that call us, people like the health departments, the social welfare, hospitals, and from our funding body, which is HADAC as well.
So clearly you get a lot. How do you select who becomes a core member? You've only got a certain number of places, haven't you?
So expressions of interest are put to L'Arche Sydney, and we have a body of people that are called the Community Council. So we take the interest through to Community Council, of which we go through the eligibility criteria. And part of the eligibility criteria is that, if the people are living alone, if they're isolated, they have to have primarily an intellectual disability. They have to be between moderate to low care, not too high needs, because the houses are not fully equipped to cater. So we decide that, and it's also the suitability of people for the houses, but also the suitability of the houses for the individuals concerned as well.
How does a house function?
Like any household, our three houses operate, as an ordinary household where we have division of tasks or division of roles or chores, whatever you call them. We have our weekly meetings in which we discuss issues around the house, shopping, groceries, appointments. People just get up in the morning, share life together, breakfast, our daily routines, and mm-hmm. we just get into the rhythm of life. People go to work, people have day programs, come back, and we gather together for meals. And an important part in L'Arche is the spirituality of L'Arche. And the spirituality forms a very strong thread in which we pray in the mornings, we pray at night. And every interaction within the household, we in L'Arche see that as a very significant and a holy moment.
Yes, and it's non-denominational, isn't it? Anybody of any religion may be accepted to live in the house.
That's right. L'Arche is an ecumenical community. People are welcomed into L'Arche and can express their faith within a very safe environment.
So outside of the house, you'd mentioned before that people go to work and people go outside and do activities. Yep. How does L'Arche help its core members integrate with the broader community?
People are taken to day programs. We also have club nights or supper, where people go into restaurants, and that gives them an opportunity to interact with the larger and the mainstream communities. We go to church, shopping, we attend conferences, workshops. We have volunteering opportunities for our core members, work opportunities. So there are lots of avenues in which people can interact with the wider community, and L'Arche facilitates this for our core members.
Recently on AbleQuest, we had a person responsible for Merrymakers. Do any of your members belong to Merrymakers?
No, they don't. But our houses are like little bands, and they all sing and play the air guitar.
Oh, how fantastic.
The air drums, so it's a beautiful place.
What about employment? Do you have arrangements with organisations to help core members become employed at those organisations?
Presently, we do have two core members that I employ. They go three times a week.
I understand that you have a subcommittee called the National Listening and Speaking Group. What's that all about?
The group is a national body, but it is made up of core members from every state. And within Sydney, we have all our core members come together, and they call the Sydney Listening and Speaking Group. And from this group, two people are chosen by the group to represent Sydney at the NASH group, of which we have Joanne, and Joanne is with me today. Some of their activities is capacity building, public speaking, advocacy, and learning to be on an interview panel. So there's lots of little things that they do at a national level together.
Hello, Joanne. It's so nice to have you here with Krishni today, and particularly as a member of what I gather is a very important group within L'Arche, the National Listening and Speaking Group. Tell us a little bit about your involvement with that group.
Well, we come from Sydney, other community members, and the board give us a job to do, so we do that.
Mm-hmm. And how often do you get together?
Twice a year.
And do you enjoy being part of the group?
Yes, I find that very interesting.
And meeting people from the other states?
Yes.
Well, thank you very much for coming in today, Joanne. It's lovely to talk to you.
Thank you.
Now, it's an expensive business running a household. We all know that, particularly in Sydney. How are you funded?
We're funded by the government, and that's the only source of funding that we get. And we're very reliant on the generosity of the public to carry us through from year to year.
Do the families of some of your core members contribute in some way?
Yes, our families are very part of the whole community. Many of them come in and just be part of community by cooking and serving in different roles within the community. And this is the fabric of what our community is.
For more information, visit larche.org.au, larche.org.au.
You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening, and goodbye till next program.